This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com.
Welcome to Layla Weighs In, here on Intelligent Medicine. Thank you for joining me. And I thank you for your questions, your comments, topics of interest. Keep emailing me. That's radioprogram@AOL.com, radioprogram@AOL.com. If you don't already subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine newsletter, you can do so, and it's free, just like these podcasts. Go to drhoffman.com. That's www.drhoffman.com, and click on sign up for the newsletter. It comes out around every Thursday or so. It's free. You can unsubscribe at any time. We never use your email for any other reason. Okay, let me dive right in here. Anemia is linked to higher odds for dementia in seniors. We're all concerned about dementia, right? First, there was the twin epidemics of obesity and diabetes, which sometimes we call diabesity, right? Well, next up, the next epidemic is Alzheimer's disease. But it's not always Alzheimer's. Dementia can happen for many reasons, and anemia is one of them. So even mild anemia, which is characterized by low levels of hemoglobin in the blood, may raise a person's odds for Alzheimer's disease and other types of dementia, according to a new study. The same Dutch research also found a correlation between heightened dementia risk and high blood levels of hemoglobin. That's interesting. So high blood levels of hemoglobin and low levels of hemoglobin, which is characteristic of anemia, heightened dementia risk. That's like a U-shaped curve where too low and too high, neither is good. It's got to be just right. It's got to be Goldilocks, so to speak. So with around 10% of people over age 65 having anemia in the Americas and in Europe, and up to 45% in African and Southeast Asian countries, these results have important implications for the burden of dementia. Noted study lead author M. Arfan Ikram of Erasmus Medical Center in Rotterdam, the Netherlands. The new study included more than 12,000 people, averaging about 65 years of age. None of the participants had dementia at the beginning of the research. Hemoglobin levels were measured at the start of the study, and 6% of the participants were found to have anemia. The participants' health was then tracked for an average of 12 years. During that time, 1,520 of the participants developed dementia, including 1,194 who were diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. According to the report, which was published, by the way, online on July 31st in the journal Neurology. The journal is called Neurology, and it was published online July 31. That's where I'm bringing this to you from. The study was not designed to prove cause and effect, you know, which can be very tough to do. It's tough to prove cause and effect. You'd have to follow people for decades and have them under laboratory conditions. It's hard to do with human beings as opposed to rats, right? So they can't prove cause and effect. However, the research showed that people with anemia were 41% more likely to develop Alzheimer's disease and 34% more likely to develop any type of dementia than those without anemia, according to the researchers. This is interesting. In another finding, people with high levels of hemoglobin were also more likely to develop dementia. That U-shaped curve I was just talking about. Those with the highest levels were 20% more likely to develop dementia than those with levels in the middle, right? Not too high, not too low, but just right, right in the middle. Those were the people who were least affected. Those with the lowest hemoglobin levels were 29% more likely to develop dementia than those with the levels in the middle. This is significant. In a journal news release, Ikram added that the findings could be significant, given that the prevalence of dementia is expected to increase threefold over the next decades, and with the largest increases predicted in the countries where the anemia rate is highest. So we're talking about African, South Asian, right? The question of how hemoglobin levels affect dementia risk is still unclear. However, more research is needed, as all scientists say at the end of their research, more research is needed to determine whether hemoglobin levels play a direct role in this increased risk or whether these associations can be explained by underlying issues or other vascular or metabolic changes. Dr. Sajid Busri is a cardiologist at Lenox Hill Hospital in New York City. Looking over the key findings, he stressed that hemoglobin's role as an oxygen transporter to the brain might be key. Any quick or slow loss of oxygen will lead to a cognitive decline and manifest as dementia. This is true. Conversely, Busri said, elevated hemoglobin is a reaction to some underlying disease. That disease is forcing the body to produce more hemoglobin. This can result in an increase in thickness of blood and poor blood flow to the brain. That makes sense, right? Another expert believes the findings should serve as a reminder to doctors to pay attention to even mild anemia when it occurs. And you know, the thing is, with a lot of people who are elderly, we often find anemia or mild anemia or anemia of chronic disease. Think about the comorbidities, the health conditions that older people have. And a lot of it can cause anemia, right? These are things to consider. So it's important for doctors, for health practitioners, to pay attention to even mild anemia when it occurs. I think that physicians should not write off mild anemia in any age group because it clearly is associated with brain dysfunction over time, said Dr. Guy Mintz. He directs cardiovascular health at Northwell Health's Sandra Atlas Bass Heart Hospital in Manhasset, New York, in Nassau County. Minst also noted that many of the participants in the study were still in their 60s and 70s, so we are not looking at an elderly, frail group of patients. As for people with elevated levels of hemoglobin, he believes that in many instances, this happened in response to the smoking habit. That's interesting. So smoking can raise your hemoglobin levels. Your body's trying to deal with this insult, right? So the link between hemoglobin levels and dementia can be another motivational tool to get these patients to stop smoking. So this is in the journal Neurology, which was released July 31. Of this year, for anybody who wants to look it up. But anemia being a risk factor for dementia, let's talk about the other risk factors for dementia. Clogged arteries, for one, right? If you've got some obstruction in your carotid arteries in your neck, that can decrease blood flow to the brain. That is often a cause of dementia. Cardiovascular disease in and of itself is a risk factor for dementia. Other risk factors for dementia, we often look when somebody comes into the office complaining of, you know, forgetfulness, you know, that tip of the tongue syndrome, you have trouble forgetting some words and things, or just out and out, short-term memory is really going down, and they're quite concerned about it. B12 levels. We often look at B12 levels. You need healthy B12 levels for your neurological system to function properly. And I don't mean that level that they show you that's the normal range, anywhere between like 200 and 600 or so, or between 200 and 800 maybe. We want to see it definitely over 600. 200 is too low. 350 is too low. 400, okay, you're getting a little better. But we want optimal levels of B12 for proper functioning. We like to see levels around 900 and higher. Another important, very important B vitamin, which if you're low in it, is a risk factor for dementia, vitamin B1, also known as thiamine. When you're critically low in thiamine, you forget stuff. Think of people who are heavy drinkers. They have thiamine deficiency. People on poor diets, high sugar diets, thiamine deficiency. Thiamine deficiency apparently is more prevalent than we believe it to be. So it's important to look for low B1 levels, thiamine levels. Extreme deficiency in thiamine can cause a level of dementia that is really can cause confusion, irritability, all of that. So it's important to look at thiamine levels if memory loss is a concern for you. Another critical B vitamin for memory is vitamin B6, pyridoxine. Vitamin B6 is very, very important. Critical for proper functioning. And did you know it is now becoming standard practice for those complaining of dementia, memory loss, having trouble with short-term memory, having trouble with things that happened a week ago, they aren't quite right, even undergoing some personality changes because of their forgetfulness. It is now becoming standard practice to check for syphilis. Remember that STD, that sexually transmitted disease, syphilis? You thought it was eradicated, right? Huh, it's made a comeback. Fascinating stuff. I'll tell you about a case study of a gentleman who presented as exactly that. Was having all kinds of trouble with his memory, his personality wasn't quite right. You could find that even while talking to him, he wasn't quite grasping everything. It's like he wasn't altogether there, if I may describe it that way. Underwent all kinds of testing. We even checked his detox levels, his liver functioning, vitamin deficiencies. We took care of all of that stuff. Wasn't quite right. Then we find... He found out, and he called our office, he had syphilis. How is syphilis treated? Antibiotics. Thank heaven. Back in the days prior to antibiotics, you know how syphilis was treated? With arsenic. A type of chemotherapy then, right? The very toxic arsenic was used to treat syphilis. Wow. So, very important stuff in the treatment of dementia. And you know, anybody who comes in complaining of memory loss or anything like that, trouble remembering things, that it's not quite right. They always used to remember things and now suddenly they don't, or they don't remember people's names that they've just met. And I'm not talking about a situation where you've just met a room full of people. You can't be expected to remember each and every person's name, right? We're just talking about maybe a very important person you just met a week ago, but then you have trouble recalling their name. The brain also chooses the most salient information to encode and put into our memory. The most important information, right? Like when you're studying for a test, all the things that you're studying is what will be encoded into your memory. This is important. And all the other things that you really don't need to remember can fall by the wayside. The brain will kind of choose the most important things. Now, if you're gifted with being a genius or having a photographic memory and all these things, you're one of those people who read something once and you remember it the rest of your life. Wow. But that's rare. And that's few and far in between. So, anyway. In a lot of primary care offices now, if you go in complaining of dementia, they could give you a short test or something. I think a lot of primary care providers often will give you a test, or they may just send you for a neurology workup. But listen, go get your B12 levels checked, get your B1 and B6 levels checked, check for anemia, check for syphilis. Wow. So it's very important. And if you're even somebody with borderline anemia and you're in your 60s, in your 70s, in your 80s, this can also impact your memory. What else can adversely impact your memory? High cortisol levels. That stress hormone I keep talking about a lot. Cortisol, if you've got chronic stress in your life, that cortisol shrinks. The hippocampus is the part of the brain responsible for memory. You don't want that to happen. Remove the stress from your life, if possible, or greatly reduce it. Eliminate it if you can. Meditation, deep breathing. You want to get ample amounts of sleep. When we don't sleep, we don't remember anything. I don't care what age you are. Your brain is not functioning optimally. This is very, very important. So if your brain isn't functioning optimally, you're not going to remember stuff. It's kind of that simple. These are the things to look for on your own and with your doctor and with your nutritionist to see if any of these deficiencies exist before drawing conclusions, before looking on the internet and becoming a, get this word, cyberchondriac. A hypochondriac, right? A cyberchondriac looking at the internet, reading about stuff, and then convincing yourself that this is your ailment, that this is your problem. Don't do that. Listen to these podcasts. Dr. Hoffman and I try to bring you the best information possible. And by the way, we do appreciate your questions, topics of interest. Please email us to radioprogram@aol.com. That's radioprogram@AOL.com. And I want to thank you for joining me on another edition of Layla Weighs In here on Intelligent Medicine. This is Layla Mudin, RD. I see patients regularly along with Dr. Hoffman. If you require a nutrition consult with me but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.